Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's that time again for Successipes. We've got your recipe for success in business and living, and I'm your host, Lori Wilk. It's great to have you with us. Our show today is live. Our topic today, we're going to be speaking to business broker and Murphy Business franchise owner, Russell Cohen, and he's going to share with us some of the secrets of selling your business and how you sell a business in a way that gets you the best results with the least amount of stress. So welcome to the program, Russell.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, it's great to have you with us here today. Share with us a little bit about your background before you and how you got into this business brokerage.
Well, I've been a business broker since 1999. I went to the University of Miami, continued to develop my sales career working for Lanier Worldwide, which is a copier firm. So I learned how the art of going out and making around 400 cold calls a month, hitting door-to-door. And then I proceeded to, after 3 years of selling copiers, I worked for a company called Staff Leasing, which was payroll benefits and workers' comp. You know, those 6 years of working for those two large companies has enabled me to decide to go to be an entrepreneur and become a business broker to help other business owners exit their business. And that led me up to my decision in 1999 to become a business broker.
That's awesome. Now, are you licensed here in the state of Florida as in real estate as well? How does that work?
Correct. The state of Florida requires that all business brokers have a real estate license. So for anyone to handle any type of business transaction, we do fall under the real estate license.
Okay. Now, in the real estate field, there's different areas that people can work on. So can you kind of distinguish that for us and help our audience understand?
Sure. You got three different categories. You got residential realtors who obviously specialize in selling homes. You got commercial realtors who can sell a commercial building or lease space. And then you have business brokers who are specialized in selling businesses. And when you're going out there trying to choose someone to represent your firm, you know, you want to hire a business broker because you want to hire a specialist. You know, if you had a health condition, especially with your heart, you're going to go to a cardiologist. You're not going to go running to a podiatrist to check your heart. So it's important that you have the right specialty of a real estate professional.
I think that's so important. Can you explain a little bit about what a business broker does, and then some of the areas that you work on as a Murphy business franchise owner, the areas that you specialize in?
Sure, thank you. A business broker is really the foot soldier for you. What happens is when you decide to put your business up for sale, it's a very complicated process. We get so many inquiries on businesses, and 98% of all buyers do not buy. So the job of the business broker is to package the business for sale, where, you know, we're holding very important confidential matters that want to be held closely knit. For example, the name, proprietary information about the firm, tax records, information about the business that not every buyer needs to have when a phone call comes in. So the business broker is going to package the business, protect the confidentiality. The business broker is going to go through the hundreds and hundreds of buyers that call daily, weekly, monthly. We're going to go through those buyers. We're the foot soldier to weed through those people and get through to a few people that actually do qualify and guide the business owner and the buyer through the transaction, which in itself is extremely complicated. And I consider it like a minefield. I'm the business broker. I'm on the front line going through that minefield, trying to defuse the mines, the problems in the business transaction. There's so many different ways for your business transaction to explode. And it all starts with disclosure when you meet with the business broker like myself. I'm going to ask a lot of detailed questions. I'm going to learn about the business and try to find out how healthy the business is or how unhealthy the business is, and try to root out issues that we're going to find along the way in the process. But the reason why you hire a business broker is for confidentiality purposes, because you don't want to broadcast to the world that the business is for sale. You only need to sell it one time. You want to sell it to one time to the right person with the right experience, with the right capital money that have to invest in the business. So a business broker will be the foot soldier of the deal, a foot soldier to find the buyers, the quarterback in the deal, to drive it to the touchdown where everyone wins.
I love that. Now, in the area of business brokerage, would you say that there would also probably be a lot of businesses that you wouldn't want to have the listing on, similar to, you know, any kind of residential or commercial type of deal? I mean, a lot of deals that maybe you wouldn't want to be part of?
Yeah, what happens is when I interview a seller, if I see that the books and records are really not where they need to be and it'll be an extremely tough sale, I will shy away from the listing. If the business is extremely young, where the owner started it 3 or 4 months ago or maybe a year, no one wants to buy a business where they just started a couple months ago or they can't prove their income.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major challenge when we're trying to sell these businesses, as 80% of the businesses on the market don't have 100% documented books and records.
That's a huge number that most people don't think about. Now, I know that in your work as a business broker that you help the business owners to be able to be more prepared and so that they're able to do better and get a better result. Can you take us through some of the areas of preparation? Because I think that this would be very eye-opening for many of our listeners.
What we like to do is we would like a year or two in advance meet with a seller, take a look at their tax returns, and obviously go through the analysis that we normally do with any business owner really early so we can start making recommendations to the business owner and how they need to prepare the business for sale. It all starts with their tax returns and how they do their bookkeeping. The average business should be on QuickBooks. They should be having their CPA or a bookkeeper cleaning up their QuickBooks on a monthly basis or quarterly basis. They should be having monthly or quarterly P&Ls at their disposal. A lot of business owners do not do that. So it all starts with the preparation of their financial records. If their financial records are in order, which is hard to find, but that's the key. If they have their financial records in order, that creates a world of opportunity to business owners who might be able to have buyers go out and get an SBA loans, and with these SBA loans, they will be able to get majority of their money at the closing table. With great books and records, there's foreign buyers out there who are looking to buy businesses. So the better the books and records, the better quality of buyer you're going to get, and the better chance that you will receive a cash out position for your sale. A lot of issues happen with the landlord. A lot of sellers don't realize how important the landlord process is. If you don't own your real estate, which majority of business owners do not, we all lease. A lot of people lease here in Florida because the landlords have gobbled up a lot of that prime commercial space. We're at the whim of someone else making a decision on transferring the lease. So the best thing someone can do is before you put the business up for sale, is get a long-term lease in place.
Wow. All
right, and the reason why is because the buyer has to qualify for the lease. And Florida law states that the landlord, if there's a lease involved and it's assignable, and it's in your assignment clause in your lease, simply states that it can't be unreasonably withheld, then the landlord has to pass that lease on. You do not want to make your life work contingent upon your landlord on helping you sell your business. So if you have a 2 year left on your lease, get a 5 year lease. Get a 5 and a 5 year option. If you're in retail, get as many options as you can. With the challenges with a lot of landlords, they do want personal guarantees. So you don't want to put yourself out there too long, but you want to make the business presentable, because when you take the buyer to the landlord and you only have 1 year left on your lease, you're basically putting the whole deal on a stranger and seeing if they can qualify for an extension. And then you open yourself up to increasing rent, the buyer might have to put up a larger security deposit. It makes the deal very unstable. So if business owners took a really hard look at their lease and prepared that lease for sale, then when you finally get to the landlord process, it's a simple assignment of the lease, not a complete lease renegotiation.
That's worth gold. You realize what you shared with our audience today. This is like a golden tip that could really make a difference for a business owner being able to sell their business. Now, obviously, when you get these businesses for sale, you go through an entire process of marketing the business besides having to get the business owner ready to sell the business. Can you talk about the marketing side of business brokerages?
Sure. Back in 1999, when I first started, it was all about, you know, Sun Sentinel and advertising in the paper. Well, that is a thing of the past. As you know, classified advertising is not what it used to be. This is now internet-type business. The business broker is never going to be replaced by the internet, but the advertising is all drawn through the internet. Basically, there are about 15 to 20 different websites out there that are dedicated for businesses for sale. And those websites are like a web, like a spider web. They web out to like over 500 different sites, through the journals, through Wall Street Journal, New York Times. It's like a major branch that branches out. There are networking organizations called the Business Brokers of Florida. It's our major association for business brokers. 50% of all transactions are co-brokered with other business brokers, and 50% of my sales are done based on my advertising. So it's vital when you hire a business broker, ask key questions, because if the business broker that you hire is not part of these associations, the Business Brokers of Florida, the International Business Brokerage Association, then basically what that business broker is trying to do is keep the commission 100% for him or herself. If they co-broke, then you have increased your odds of selling your business. Very important, when in a co-brokering situation, a lot of brokers do not do it friendly. When I say do it friendly, they don't call people back. And it's important that when you hire a broker, you want to make sure they check their ego at the door and they're calling the brokers back so you can get the best possible buyers. Sometimes that cash buyer is being brought by a different agent.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes the broker has to check their ego and look out for their client and get them the best transaction for the seller. And that's really all that matters, because we do work on referral.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. And the opportunity to connect with new people that you haven't connected with before, to put business deals together with other people you haven't done before, I mean, it's very likely that that other business broker has other clients or people with money. And once they find out that the transactions are much more workable with you and that you have that professionalism, it really can expand your business. We are learning so much today about business brokerage and the marketing. And I would love to be able to give you some, you know, our audience insight into some of the work that you've already done, and hear a little bit more about some of the sales that you made. So could you share with us maybe your most unusual sale?
Yes, this is a very unusual sale. I would say about 10 years ago, I sold a club, which was a swingers club, which is a very unusual. It wasn't a big sale, but it was a swingers club, and it was not your typical listing. Obviously, licensing was very difficult. The due diligence was very difficult with the type of books and records. It was a small sale, but it was kind of a weird category. So we sold the swingers club for less than $100,000. It was a sister club to a very large club here in South Florida. But it was probably one of the most unusual categories that I've ever sold.
Wow, I can imagine what the wife had to say. Honey, do you have to go down to the business tonight and make sure that things are looking good before the transaction? Wow, okay, swingers club.
That was during the day.
That was during the day. Well, they swing any time, I think, so that's a whole another talk show. Let's talk about in volume or something big, maybe the largest sale that you've ever made.
Yeah, I sold a internet company for $4.5 million to a publicly traded company. I was helping a small business. Actually, it was a small business. He was a young gentleman who started a business for real estate education. Back in 2005, he built out a website. It was an online learning to get your real estate brokerage license to get your salesperson's license and to have your continuing education.
Okay.
We sold the business for 4.5 with half down, 2.2 down to a publicly traded company. The seller took half cash, half in stock. 1 year later, he sold the stock at a profit and cashed out completely and had a 2.5 year run where he got paid salary to run the business with benefits. He did extremely well. He was only open a year and a half, and with the business grew so quickly, it was making over $1 million out of the gate after its first full year in business. Now, in his space, a lot of players have entered the real estate educational space, but when he formed it in 2005, he was one of the originals, which allowed him to exit the business and do very well, and obviously the economy dropped out in 2008. So timing in life is also important, too.
You brought up a very interesting point. I think we're also seeing in the business world a lot of what I would call kind of the bread-and-butter type of businesses, things that were very logical and made sense, and they're moving them into the Internet type of world with new platforms and new programs. And I think we're going to continue to see more opportunities in that area. So I imagine that's growing. Talk a little bit about money for business, because we hear, like money's not easy to come by, or there's different pathways people can go to get money. So how do you look at the money situations when you're selling this business, these businesses, of
sure.
money available for the buyer?
Well, obviously cash is king. If you're an American buyer with liquid funds, then if you have those type of liquidity, then that could demand a potential discount on the purchase price of the business. The conventional way is to put anywhere from 50 to 90% down on the business and ask for seller financing. Unfortunately, over the years, over the past 15, 16 years, there's been success stories and also stories that are not been so successful. So a lot of sellers are a little gun-shy because they're acting as the bank, and they're basically financing a stranger. So that's owner financing is always preferred, but very tough to get. Now, 1 out of 7 business listings can qualify for an SBA loan. An SBA loan is a small business administration that are typically handled by a bank, and Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, there's many different types of SBA lenders out there.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 out of 7 businesses will qualify. So it's not a very common a common way to go. It's a preferred way to go for a buyer. You got to marry the business with the buyer. The business has to have sparkling records to qualify for a bank loan. That means they have to have a nice W-2 salary. They have to show profit. They have to show enough income where the bank feels on their side that the business can support the debt service for the buyer. And the buyer, on the other hand, has to collateralize the loan. They have to show collateral. They have to have sparkling credit. They have to be insurable for life insurance.
Mm.
They have to have a clean record, no felonies. You cannot get a bank loan if you have a checkered past. So when I do a bank loan in 2015, these are the best buyers and these are the best sellers. And so far this year, I can say I've done at least 4 SBA loans. In comparison, if you look from when the economy dropped out from 2008 to 2014, I only done 2 loans in that time period. And if you look what's going on in 2015 in the recovery, I've done more loans this year in 2015 than in the 6 years of the economy struggling. And prior, from 99 to 2007, I must have done 70 SBA loans. So, as the economy improves, the opportunity as business owners' numbers improve and they prepare their business for sale, the opportunity for the American buyer is to get that SBA loan.
Oh, I love that. And for those of you that are just tuning in, I'm your host, Lori Wilk, and we are talking today about selling your business and getting some of the insider secrets to how to be able to get more money for your business and the kind of things necessary to prepare your business for sale, talking a little bit about the money available for being able to buy your business. And we're speaking to Russell Cohen, who is the broker. He is the franchise owner of a Murphy Business franchise. And we do have the listing here to connect with his website is www.flabizforsale.com. And we've also got Russell's phone number here on the webpage so that if you're looking to either sell a business or you're looking to purchase a business, he's definitely somebody you'll want to get on the phone with. Now, I know today's show has not been about the art of buying a business, but you and I definitely need to do a show about that and, you know, spend some time in that area. Let's talk a little bit more about some of your sales that you've made. I know you told us about the most unusual and the largest. Would you like to share with us the most charitable sale that you've done?
Yes, I was representing a plumber, and he was in his 80s, and we had the business for sale under $100,000, and along the way in the listing, the seller passed away. Unfortunately, he was actually going to the bathroom one night, slipped and fell, and then hit his head. And unfortunately, a very well known plumber in the community in South Florida, he passed away. And then what ended up happening was, the value of the business was declining because obviously he was not working the business anymore. So I was able to locate a plumbing/air conditioning company. He was able to buy the phone number, buy the clientele for a very low amount of money, and I decided not to take any commission from that transaction. I felt like I wanted to help the family. I wanted to see the plumbing firm live on, and it was purchased, and they were extremely happy, and they felt it was an incredible conclusion to a very successful career for their father.
That's great. I'm glad that you were able to do that. Talk a little bit about what you have right now going on. I know, of course, the businesses that are for sale are always changing, but kind of take us through the realm of the type of businesses that you have now that you are brokering.
It really ranges from every different facet of every different type of business. I have internet companies for sale that are home-based, simple to run. I have retail businesses for sale that tie into cell phone stores, cell phone accessories. I have restaurants for sale ranging from Italian to Greek to fast casual. I have restaurants that are acid sales. I have distributors that are wholesale plumbing supply firms. It's got to be the jack of all trades. There's so many different types of businesses out there. Pest control companies, accounting firms are starting to hit the market as we hit the second half of the year. There's so many different types of businesses that we can list. I don't have a specialty. I'm a jack of all trades. I can handle any type of business that's out there because the buyer typically comes with the experience. I have sold over 445 businesses, so pretty much I have a very strong general understanding of a lot of different industries, and I can walk in and carry on an hour-long conversation with a seller and try to pick their brains about their business and understand what's going on. And that's my job, is to go in, meet the seller, get to know them, build a rapport, understand the business, and make sure that I'm trying to find out the issues involved in the business today.
That's great. Now, as a business broker, you are also a broker and you are also a franchise owner of a Murphy Business brokerage. And that would mean that you are in a position to have other people work for the franchise and work for your brokerage. So that being said, what qualifications or what type of a person do you think would be most likely to be successful in becoming a business broker or working in that field? What would you be looking for?
I would say past business owners are the best prospects for me. And the reason why is this is a very long ramp-up period to start making a living. So if you are a prior business owner you have savings and you understand that you could be waiting 6 months to a year, 2 years to receive your first sale. So I need a very educated person who understands sales and marketing, understands financials, who understands managing a business and a lot of decisions that come in owning a business will come involved in decision making, in negotiating the deal, and handling the business transaction. So we are looking for mature people who can take on the responsibility. This we are selling business owners' life work, and it is a very nerve-wracking for the seller and the buyer, and they want someone who could be understanding and guide them through the process, which is a very difficult process.
Absolutely. And you also bring up a really good point that, you know, sometimes in the public they have a misconception. They think, oh, you go out there and you get a real estate license, whether it's for the residential or the commercial or business brokerage, and the first thing you're doing, it's like a license to make a lot of money and that, you know, you're going to be, you know, swimming in the mega bucks. But when you brought out the point of all of these business scenarios in the terms of a brokerage do have a lead time to be able to meet people that are first looking to, you know, tell you about their businesses. You may meet them, but they may not be ready to sell the business when you meet people. So you have a lot of networking. You have a lot of being part of professional organizations that you mentioned, which those typically have, you know, a cost to be able to join, you know, these different organizations. And you have expenses in marketing yourself and marketing the business. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that you do have to have monies behind you or ability to have savings or credit to be able to build yourself up in any kind of a business when you get, you know, get going in the sales. And, you know, you prove that it's very much like that and that there's a long lead time in this kind of an industry.
Most realtors don't realize, obviously, of the lead time. Obviously, residential, you have a chance of a quicker hit. But if you are lacking capital in your real estate career, working capital to launch your career, you probably are going to not survive the business. You have to invest in yourself in any career that you're going to do, from education to advertising to promoting yourself. You got to always reinvest in yourself because the commissions are large, but you have to willing to invest money in self to get the return.
Very, very valuable. We are just learning so much here today about everything that goes into the business brokerage. Talk a little bit about the franchise type of a model and why you selected to be a franchise owner and maybe what people should consider with the whole idea of owning a franchise.
Sure. Well, I chose Murphy. They've been around since 1994, so you always, when you're choosing a franchise, you want a franchise that's been around. They have over 160 locations. I chose Murphy because in my world, there is a administrative bottleneck that goes on. When you take a listing, the listing has to go up on 15 to 20 different sites. And it's not like you enter one listing into one site and then it gets put into 15 different sites. These are individually entered into each site. So Murphy provides the advertising support that I needed so I don't have to have a office, back office in my own franchise and pay salaries out the door for our office manager. So it really relieves the administrative. So, you know, when you're out there looking for a franchise, what a franchise is going to provide is support. And if you're the type of person who's entrepreneurial but needs help to get answers because a franchise has already gone through many different scenarios, they've already experienced all the problems that you're going to have, and if you're the type of person who wants to have that kind of help and support with advertising, marketing, and all different types of management support, then franchising is your way.
I love it. And I want to encourage everyone to go onto the website, take a look at FLABizForSale.com. Get on the phone, talk to Russell Cohen if you're buying or selling a business. Amazing. We've got his phone number listed here. We're going to be talking about upcoming shows about how to buy a business. And Russell, I'm so glad that you joined us here today. I'm your host, Lori Wilk. Any last words that you'd like to share with anyone on the show today, Russell?
selling your business is extremely important part of your life. Don't leave it up to it. Don't do it yourself, but don't give it to an amateur either.
I love that. I'm your host, Lori Wilk. Until we get together again, you know what I say. Be successful and be safe, and join us again here on Successipes, where we've got your recipe for success in business and living. Bye for now. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.